Colonel fans, we are back, and welcome to another edition of the Kicking It With the Colonels podcast. It's great to have you with us wherever, however you have us tuned in. Want to thank you for joining us today, whether you're watching on YouTube, listening via Apple Podcast, or through EKUSports.com. We appreciate you so much. My name is Wes Chandler. Today we are kicking it with EKU Track and Field, and we have one of the best high jumpers in the country in Joshua Moore, and the coach for jumps, along with other events, Coach Jatavia Wright. Josh and Jatavia, thanks for hanging out with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Well, Josh, let's talk the big news right out of the gate. Josh, you recently qualified for the NCAA Track and Field Championships. First of all, congratulations on that. That's a huge accomplishment. High jumped over 7 feet at the East Preliminary in Jacksonville. What was going through your mind when you cleared that height and then found out you made it to Austin, Texas?
Oh, man, my eyes were just closed. Like, I was really shocked. It was actually like, I knew when I cleared. I was like, okay, I got a chance of going to Nationals. And then when Coach Wright hit me with the news, like, oh, you made it to Nationals. Like, wow, I'm done. You know, I mean, job's not done. You know, I still got one more. But it was a, you know, very shocking news when I heard.
Well, have you got back to everybody yet? I'm sure your phone was blowing up once you found out the news. Is anybody still out there on red?
No, I actually respond to everybody. You know, it was a lot more family than it was friends. But, you know, when I respond to everybody, it was just like, wow.
And for you, Jatavia, what was it like? What's it been like for you to be able to coach such a talent like Josh?
Oh, he liked that question. it's been fun. For him, it's been a journey. So I'm really thankful that he's one of the athletes that bought in fairly quickly. And he literally does everything that I asked him to do. So I'm glad it's paying off for him.
Well, I know you weren't part of the program last year, but EKU had a national champion in Ahmed Jaziri, won the steeplechase. Did you ever get a chance to meet him? Have you ever got a chance to talk to him?
I actually met him, honestly, at the Rick Erdman Twilight here. That was my first time actually talking to him and, like, actually getting to know him. And we talked about last year and we talked about this year. And, you know, he actually was one of the guys that reached out to me when I made it and made it to Nationals. He said congratulations, and I said thank you. Mm-hmm. It's actually a big honor because he's a national champ,
right,
and he's in the pros right now. So it's actually, like, a big, you know, big thing.
Sorry,
so
that's a big, I guess, acquaintance that you can come up with, knowing that he was just part of this same program that you're here with right now. And yeah, I'm sure you can learn a lot from a guy like him.
Yes.
Who's been able to do so much. Now, let's talk about you, Jatavia. You were an interim head coach at South Carolina State. You've been an assistant coach at Austin Peay. When you look back on your track career, what's it mean to you so far? And you played at SIU, ran at SIU Edwardsville as well as WKU. What's it been like for you transitioning from as an athlete to a coach?
That's a good question. when I first got into my coaching career, it was really hard to let go of the athlete Jatavia. But this is my passion. Like, it comes really easy to me. But I enjoy passing the wisdom to these athletes. I've had some great mentors, have some great mentors. So it's been an easy transition because I've had the support. I'm having great athletes. You know, every time I transition to a new position, you know, there's always some hesitance, like, do she know what she's talking mm-hmm. about? And then as soon as they lock in, boom, I got, you know, an All-American. I have athletes making it to regionals. Got another athlete here first season.
Right.
You know, making it to regionals, making it to nationals. So, like I said, I'm in my passion, so everything just comes naturally.
Do you find yourself taking bits and pieces from some of your mentors, maybe somewhere from one stop that you liked, something that you didn't like? I know not to implement that. Do you find yourself doing that now as a coach?
Yes, all the time. And then usually go back to the athlete to tell you, I'm like, did that really help me? when I, you know, locked in totally in it, I'm like, did that really benefit
right.
me? Or was that a mental thing my coach was trying to do? So what I realized from all of my mentors is that, yes, you have to have the athletic ability, but it's all mental. It's 98% mm-hmm. mental. If you can't lock in, it's one of the phrases that I preach to them, like, hey, let's lock in. If you're not focused on the small things, then the big things won't happen. So even in his training, we focused on the small things because he was like, Coach, why are we not jumping? Why are we not jumping?
Totally.
I'm like, hey, we got to, you know, get you stronger, right. faster. So when we get to the bar, you have the speed to get over it. So I've learned a lot from my mentors of you know, paying attention to the small things and them locking in to me as a person versus an athlete. Mm-hmm. So I also try to make sure that, you know, I know Joshua and not Joshua that high jumps. Mm-hmm. So
that's a huge part that people don't realize, I think, is they think of a coach and they think, okay, you coach high jump. All you've got to do is high jump all the time. There's stepping stones involved mm-hmm. in that, and I think that's really cool. Well, speaking of those schools, we talked about your career at SLU Edwardsville in Western Kentucky. Josh, you transferred in from Kentucky Wesleyan. What's been the biggest difference in your transition from Kentucky Wesleyan to here at Eastern Kentucky?
Well, I would say one is having a high jump coach, like a true high jump coach. You know, when I first got here, the high jump coach or the jumps coach we had, you know, left. So I didn't think we was ever going to get one. So I thought it was going to be, you know, the same thing how it was when I was in school, where I had been getting the teaching and everything, the workouts from a sprints coach. But, you know, when we brought in another jump coach, I was like, okay, I can do this. She got trust in me. I trust her. You know, but at the first, it was a little iffy because, you know, like I said, we wasn't jumping. We were just doing, like, plyos and running. I was like, okay, maybe this isn't for me anymore. But, you know, I trusted her, trusted the process, and got here to where I am now.
For both of y'all, how did your journey in track and field begin? Take us through as a youngster.
Okay. I remember it vividly. I was outside playing football with the guys at 6 years old. Then a dog come out of nowhere.
Okay.
I jumped the fence with no hands. My auntie said, yes, we have to put her in track and field.
And she's a jumper from then on.
So that's my origin story.
It all began with a dog.
Yeah.
So mine, I used to play baseball in high school. I was a freshman, and we was coming in from home plate, pitched through it, and everything stole from third to home. And, you know, I tried to jump over the catcher, and I jumped over him and was saved. That's where it all started. And I was like, dang, yeah, I can do this, and I want to be a jumper.
Yeah.
At first, they were trying to make me a hurdler, but I was like, okay, Nah, I'm not meant for this.
Didn't work out.
So, yeah, then they put me at long jump, triple jump, and then high jump, and then I was just good at high jump, so they left me there. So
that's really cool. Jatavia, I can kind of relate to yours a little bit because growing up, I always played basketball and baseball. And then I would, in the off season, I would try to get in shape. Well, one of the exercises I did to help get in shape was I'd run a couple laps around my childhood house. And the neighbors had a dog that got loose. And I was, keep in mind, I was like 9-10 years old, and it was a big dog. So I was scared to death. The dog came chasing after me, and my parents said, That's the fastest I've ever ran. So because a dog was chasing me. So I can kind of relate a little bit to yours. That's really cool.
That's one of the cues you give it, Travis. Like, hey, yeah, run like something's chasing you. Like, yeah, that's when it's going to come out.
Release the dogs. So was there ever a time that you had to overcome some adversity, not only maybe not in your track and field career, it can be, but also in just life in general for you all?
I would say yes, because growing up, I had a lot of, you know, coach changes. So it was very hard for me to just put my trust all in one coach and really, like, you know, stick to one coach. Because, like when I was going in, like, my freshman year, I had a coach that stayed for, like, 2 months. So, you know, like, we didn't really have one, and like, for a while. So I was like, I mean, every time I got a new coach, I was like, well, he's not going to be here long. So it was very hard for me to put my trust in that coach.
And by the time you got used to one, you was
we became closer,
going out the door.
Know? Yeah.
Yeah,
I became closer with one, and then, you know, we started texting outside of just track and field. They wanted to get to know me as a person and as an athlete.
Mm-hmm. And you have all those minds that maybe trying to teach you something, and then a fresh face comes in. They're trying
to
wipe away.
That has
to be really hard. Jatavia?
It's the same for me. I haven't had the same coach since the age of six. I've never.
Really?
Like, till soon as I was done with track and field, every season I've had, you know, a different coach. A different training philosophy, and for me, that's, you know, that's the blessing that I needed, because it's helping me be a better coach. Like, we just talked about what I grabbed from my mentor. Just like, from the age of six, you're learning that you can skin a cat different ways,
right?
And, you know, and I think when I lock in with my athletes, it's like, hey, I understand some things may not work for you, but give it a shot, and then we could come back to the drawing board and we could figure it out. So one thing about me, I adapt to change really quick. You know, something changed, like, okay, what's next? Like, let's keep going. Like, because, you know, one thing don't stop the show. And I, you know, I'm thankful for that adversity. People may not look at it as that, but having to adapt to change is really hard.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's why I had, you know, sympathy for my athletes when, you know, the coaches change. Like, it's hard to adapt to that. But, you know, life still goes on. So it that's does. Why yeah. I say yeah. with him, when he locked in fairly quickly, like, he started seeing the results. Mm-hmm. So this is just one of the lessons that I try to teach my athletes is, you know, something that I've been through, change happens. Mm-hmm. Change is going to happen for the rest of your life. So get used to it and learn how to adapt. Be creative with what's next. So that's, you know, that's my adversity story.
And most of the time it is what you make it. You can make the most out of a good situation, or you can pout your head and turn down, and it usually goes the other direction fairly quick. So, Josh, you went to North Hardin, correct?
Yes, sir.
So track and field wasn't the only sport you really excelled at, right?
No.
All right. On the gridiron, you were a pretty good wide receiver as well.
Yeah.
So all district, played some receiver at Kentucky Wesleyan as well, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So give me a scouting report on Joshua Moore, the wide receiver.
Well, coming out of high school, you know, coming from North Hardin, you know, we made more, like, a lot of our athletes were football athletes. They weren't track athletes. Mm-hmm. So I was one of those football guys, you know. I did track for, like, 2 years, but I didn't take track as really as serious because I didn't want to go to college for track. I wanted to go to college for football. But then at my other school, at Kentucky Wesleyan, I realized, like, okay, you know, winning conference, being an all-regional athlete, being a school record holder, everything, going to nationals, I was like, maybe track is my sport. Mm-hmm. And then I took it more serious, and then now I'm here when I'm here.
Does the quarterback throw you a bunch of fades to the end zone and you just get it?
It was a bunch of fades, you know, a bunch of fades, one-on-ones, you know. Nobody in our district could really hold me one-on-one. So
that's great. So, Jatavia, you also played other sports as well. You used your athleticism on the diamond and basketball court, correct? All right, so you played at Western as well as a utility player there for WKU. What was that like?
That was really fun. Like, people would come to practice. You know, like, how people come to track practice, like, oh, my God, we're about to die. Like, uh-huh. Softball players come to practice, like, oh, my God, we're about to die. I'm like, we get to play. Every day? Like, oh, I'm so excited. So, like, just have gone through track and field, know that you're going through a near-death experience every time you get on the line. Like, I get to go swing a bat. I get to go play in the batting range. Like, I used to go play catch. Like, this was so much fun. But basketball is really where my heart is. But, you know, coming from Miami, we had a lot of great track and field coaches. And they really wasn't big on, like, basketball. It was a football mm-hmm. and track state. So, but basketball is really where my heart was. Yeah. But, you know, the good Lord made my path, track and field.
Well, at least you're in a pretty good state for basketball. Yeah. I mean, here in Kentucky now. So, you were talking about your hometowns. Y'all are from very different hometowns.
Yeah,
Miami, Vine Grove, Kentucky. Do y'all ever jab each other about kind of how your paths are completely opposite and how you got here?
Oh, I hear it. Nothing but straight good about her path. Nothing but straight 305.
Well, no. Before it came on, it was 305.
It's just the 305.
Don't do that.
Only the original people can do that.
We was talking about it when we were in Jacksonville because I was like, what you like to eat? He was like, we'll have all these places. I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, you got to try something new. Got to go to different places. And that's one thing that that I really wanted to do when I was choosing my school. I was like, hey, I got to get out of Florida. Mm-hmm. It's only 4 years. I get to, you know, switch it up, see a different scenery. And I found that I like the country life.
Yeah.
No, so you might like the city life.
I know, I might like the city, but I'm just not used to that much fast food, like that much options.
There's a lot of options.
I'm just used
options.
To like McDonald's and Burger King, the basics, you know. So,
yeah.
That's great. So, Josh, some of your prior coaches before you came to EKU, where they were praising your work ethic and your really ability to learn and kind of take it all in. Where do you get that kind of work ethic?
I get that work ethic really from my family and friends because I know I watch people around me. Like, I see the hard work they put in. I'm like, well, if I do the same thing, I know it can come back to me and I can work harder. So I look around, like, you know, I want to be around people that's going to, you know, make me better. I see everybody's work ethic. I'm like, well, if they're great, I can be mm-hmm. great too. So.
And, Coach, do you see the same thing in kind of what Josh does on a daily day-to-day basis, that kind of work ethic employed over into his jumps and everything like that?
Josh is definitely a gamer. He gets to the meet and he locks in. Because I have to check on him sometimes. I'm like, hey.
You okay?
You okay? I'm locked in, Coach. Because I'm like, okay, all right. Make sure you have fun. But, you know. So it's working for him. I really enjoy seeing him compete because he's a dog when we unleash him at the track meets. I love it. Love watching him compete. But yeah, Josh is a cool kid, man. He be at practice just chilling. I'm happy he ended up getting somebody to train with. Like that turned him up a whole different notch. So yeah, he's a gamer. He loves to compete. I love it for him.
Well, for a coach, how hard is that? Because there's some coaches out there that want to change everything. You know Josh's personality as good as anyone now, and just letting him do what he feels comfortable doing and not trying to change him really in any certain way, just trying to help him along.
And that's the important part of knowing the person versus just the athlete. Now before when I got him, let's keep it 100.
Yeah, it was
rough.
It was rough. It was rough.
He was struggling jumping over 39s. Now he jumping over 42s with no issue. But when I saw him, I was like, hey, he don't have no problem getting over the bar. Mm-hmm. I could work my magic to get him strong and fast in the weight room. Hey, we jump at 7 feet. And there it was.
Turned down,
like, he has the natural ability to get over the bar. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the hardest part to teach of the high jump. Like, what I had to work with him this year was easy.
Right.
Like, you just got to jump high, dude. Like, so.
Well, anytime you dig for the record book, something significant has occurred. And some of the records are a little murky, dating back to the early days here at EKU in the track and field department. But we believe, Josh, you're the first EKU male to qualify for the NCAA Outdoor Championships in the high jump since 1981. For a track and field program as successful as Eastern Kentucky has been here over the last decades plus, what does that mean to you?
It means a lot. We're trying to honestly, if other athletes, or track athletes over Kentucky or over the state can see that, it will bring in more recruits. Mm-hmm. That's one of the main things I would like for more recruits to come here, because, you know, everybody talks about the cross country side. Nobody really talks about the track and field side. Mm-hmm. But, like, there's dogs on cross and track. There's not just dogs on the cross side. So the way I look at it is, you know, people can see the track side. Okay. You know, they trust the process. They can come here and get the same success I am here as well.
And for you, Coach, was there ever a point you knew that this was a possibility for Josh getting to this stage?
Now, when I saw him jump over the 39s, I was like, whoa, okay.
We got a long way to go.
But when I seen him work the bar, I was like, yeah, I could work with that. I was like, I could get him to the 7 foot club.
Yeah.
Like, because he's jumped 210 before, and that's 6'11.
210 is 6'10.
6'10?
Yeah.
Well, I knew, I was like, dang, if I just get him to jump higher, 7 feet is on, and it's 7 feet.
There's
we
a
can
big
get the
difference
regionals.
Between
now,
seven
you could
feet
do 7 feet
six.
At regionals. Yeah. We could go to nationals. Yeah. So it's real simple math when it comes to the high jump. Jump 7 feet.
And that's it.
That's
as
it.
Simple as that.
Just jump 7 feet consistently, and you'll be at the show every time.
We're visiting with Joshua Moore, high jumper, and one of his assistant coach, Jatavia Wright, here on Kicking It with the Colonels. Take us back to the recruiting process for both of you all. What was it like for you?
I did not recruit this guy. Yeah.
You as an athlete. So,
yeah.
Oh,
you
did. Oh, okay. Yeah. Shout out to my brother, Hassan Stamps. He was one of the coaches that followed me throughout his coaching career. So mm-hmm. my freshman year, he was at FIU. No, FIU or UM or one of those, but he wasn't at SIUE mm-hmm. yet. But he was recruiting in Florida, so he's been watching me like my whole high school career. And then when he finally, you know, landed where he was in my senior year, he was like, hey, come make history mm-hmm. with me. I was like, hold up now. What you talking about? So when he got me on campus, it was totally different from the city life. I was mm-hmm. seeing trees. I was seeing flowers. I was like, oh, my God, it's so beautiful here. And then when I seen the record board, I was like, I could get that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's one of the things that, you know, I wanted to do in my career is just to make history and win as a team. So he sold me on that, the mm-hmm. making history. He said he could get me better, and I trusted that. So shout out to my brother, Hassan Stamps, turned recruiting coach to big brother. So,
So that's how the Miami girl wound up in Southern Illinois.
Yes, that's how I got there.
And pretty successful, multiple OVC championships as well. Josh, for you?
I got to give a shout out to Coach O, you know, because he gave me opportunity, you know. When I was in the transport from my old school, I really didn't have that many, you know, offers coming out or, like, people that would give me a chance. Because, you know, like I said, I was a 210 type of guy, 6'10". So, no, when somebody looks at that, they're like, oh, maybe he's just jumping 6'8", you know, 6'6", on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. So Coach O gave me a chance, took a chance on me. Then, got here, then honestly, like, left. So I was like, you know, kind of broke my heart. But, you know, I put my my trust in Coach Wright, and she got me to the point I am now. So.
And then basically, you kind of touched on it a little bit, but you had to basically do it all over again, leaving Kentucky Wesleyan. So did you learn a little bit more from your initial days at North Hardin going to Kentucky Wesleyan that you did maybe a little bit different when you went from Kentucky Wesleyan here to Eastern?
Yeah, so coming from North Hardin, I knew, like, a lot. And then when I went to Wesleyan, like, I had to start all over because I didn't have a high jump coach. So I had to, like, start from the bottom. And when I got here, it's like I was, like, peaking. And then, you know, now I'm, like, at the top now where I, like, I know what I got to do in the success. So
now as a coach, Jatavia, what are you looking for in an athlete to come into your program? What type of player or athlete are you looking for to come be a jumper at Eastern?
I need a dog. Roof. I need a dog.
One that'll go get it.
Go get it. That's locked in. That I got to tell to slow down. Like, hey, you're moving too fast. Or, hey, you're going too hard. Like, that's the type of athlete that I want. And those are the type of athletes that thrive in my my training. So I need a dog.
And that's not instilled in everyone.
That's not. And, you know, like I said, he's a gamer. He does what he do at practice, but it's just like it's another switch when he get to these meets. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's piecing together. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes I be at practice like, oh, Josh.
You got to trust the process.
When he get to the meet, I'm like, okay, there it goes. But with me, I was a dog. I'm a dog now.
Oh, like, yeah.
I'm a real competitor. I'm real low key. I like to have fun. I'm goofy. Like, I do enjoy having fun. But at the end of the day, we're going to get this work done.
Right.
And if you're scared of hard work, you can't run for me. You can't jump for me. Like, you
can't hide.
You can't be around me. Like, so, yeah, I need a dog. I want a dog. Mm-hmm. I want somebody that wants it. I don't care if you don't know much about the track and field, but if you want it, I can get you there.
All dogs come to EKU.
All dogs. Yeah. All dogs. Yes.
What goes through your mind before a jump?
Just, you know, breathe, you know. I know how I got here, so, you know, take it, you know, step by step. But really just, you know, clearing the bar is my mindset. You know, like, I know what I got to do. I know how I can do it. So just all I got to do is go out there and execute.
Do you just picture yourself clearing that bar?
Yeah, just visualizing myself over the bar. Mm-hmm. So
taking you back to the ASUN Championships, you won the silver in the high jump, which turned out to be the fourth best jump in Eastern history. Is there more in the tank? Or are we?
There's a lot.
aiming for here on the next one?
Okay, so at Nationals, of course, you know, I want to become an All-American, place in top eight, or a personal best. But really, you know, I'm gonna go with the mindset as like, you know, this is my last meet. You know,
right.
So I gotta leave it all out there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I didn't make it. I made it this far. You know, job's not done. So I still got a lot more in the tank. So.
And do you give him like any last minute advice before he goes out there and tries to clear that?
Jump high.
Like, yeah, that's it. That's all you got to do is just jump high.
Sometimes we make things complicated.
Keep it real simple.
That's right.
Jump high, Josh. That's it.
If you ask a lot of athletes, the off season is where the work gets done. What is your training regimen like in the off season?
He actually could not train with us in the when he transferred in. You know, some transfer rules that we had to abide by, so we didn't technically get him until January.
Okay.
So he was grinding on his own.
Yeah.
And I was fairly impressed too. Like you'll see him out there like, okay, he out there, you know, skip a beat.
Do your thing.
So yeah. So now that's why I'm more excited. I'm like, we did all this in one season.
Yeah.
Now imagine when I get him. In the fall.
That's incredible.
Yeah. He's not going to like me as much as he likes me now. Yeah. But,
it's
you know, right. So, yeah.
The blood.
So, talk to me about the nutrition part. I feel like that's an area where most athletes coming from high school, they may not know a lot about the nutrition part. But, in particularly being a track and field athlete, I imagine nutrition plays a big role. I mean, you can't just – you got to keep in shape. And you can't just eat whatever you want to eat.
Yeah, I agree. As far as, you know, weights and all that, you know, you got to eat good. Mm-hmm. Carbs, protein, everything, you know. I don't really eat sweets throughout the week because I know, like, it's going to come back and bite me, you know, on the workouts. So I try, like, if I do eat sweets, I try to eat, like, sweets, like, one time out of the week. But, like, it's, like, the off day or the weekend. But, yeah, I mean, I really just eat a bunch of carbs, proteins, and I get with the strength and conditioning coach and be like, okay, how can I gain weight and what can I do? And he tells me what I got to do. So,
and is that muscle that you need to gain, or is that just?
It's really muscle because, you know, I'm not really muscle.
Right.
But, yeah, it's really muscle. You know, if I can put on 20 pounds of muscle, that'd be really great. Mm-hmm. It'll help me even more. So this offseason, I got a lot to do as far as, like, you know, the nutrition part.
So
I say,
yeah, go ahead.
About 10.
What, 10? 10. Lower that number. 10.
10.
Don't want to get too high now.
Back don't fly, my boy. So, yeah.
So what's something about, Josh, and for you, Jatavia, as well, what's something that about jumping – that not a lot of people know about, that you want them to know?
It's the best thing on the
best
planet.
Thing ever.
It is.
It's so fun. You
know, I love jumping.
But it's one of the harder events to do. I give distance their flowers, and I'm not. I struggle with the warm-up lap. So you talking about running 25 laps, you got it. But as far as, like, having to be so technical in what you do, it's very difficult, and a lot of people think, like, oh, I could go jump. That's
right,
easy.
Yeah.
But, like, hey, the things you got to think about and visualize, and, you know, we also have to do the sprint work that the sprinters do and still go do the jump workout.
Yeah.
So people just look at it, oh, like, y'all get to go play in the dirt. Like, no.
No.
there's more to it.
Completely different.
Yes.
Yeah, more to it.
So, and then it's, you know, it's times where it's like, hey, they got one race, they go finish, they, you know, evaluate what they did, but, you know, with us, we got three opportunities, but that's the anxiety still.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dang, we messed up. If I just fix this one thing and you do it again,
right,
and you mess up, like, dang it. Like, you know, it's just, you get more anxious. That's why you have to learn how to stay cool and relaxed. Oh, so, but people don't realize the pressure that it is on jumping. It's a lot of pressure.
Oh, yeah. I can only imagine taking it from somebody who can't jump at all. Away from jumping, how do you want your teammates and Jatavia, for you, the athletes you coach, how would your crew describe you away from track and field?
Man, I got to say lit. You know, she's lit outside of practice and practice. Like, she got the energy. She brings energy. You know, if you need energy, you know, she's never, like, quiet, sad. You know,
right.
Like, you know, we all be coming in, like, the workouts. We're like, dang, we about to die. So, like, what's up, y'all? And then, like, she'll start talking and then, you know, start laughing. We all start cutting up. And, you know, we get to the workout. And she's sitting like, all right, she blows the whistle. Like, all right, let's keep going. Like,
yeah.
Like that dog, you know. So.
Davia.
Josh outside.
Well, how would you describe yourself?
Oh, me?
Ooh. Yeah, yeah.
I
got a couple hours here.
I'm really a passionate person. I want people around me that want to be great. And if I don't feel like you're somebody that wants to be great, you would think that I don't like you.
Right.
It ain't got nothing to do with me not liking you. It's just I'm going to address my energy somewhere else, like with the people that deserve,
right,
you know, the attention to want to be great. So it's no telling. People sometimes are intimidated by me. I have a resting face. But
left out a word.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I have that resting face, but I'm really a nice person. Like, you could I go talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, the Southern hospitality, like, I have it.
Right.
Like, so yeah, like, I'm happy. I'm like I told you, I'm in my passion. Like, it's really nothing else. Like, my daughter be here at practice with me. Like, she get to see what her mommy does.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
I'm just living
the
life. You know what I'm saying? And then when they do great at practice, I'm just
celebrating.
Yeah.
No, happy celebrating.
Like, I'm singing and dancing in practice. They be like, what's up with you? I was like, I'm just happy y'all did so good. So I guess I say goofy. Like lit, you know.
Goofy lit. Yeah.
I like that.
There we go.
I'll take that.
So what hobbies do you have, both of y'all?
This is my hobby.
That's not a bad hobby to have, yeah.
Yeah,
when you're so invested in something like that,
I do hair. I could braid.
Okay.
I could retwist locks.
I don't do that. This
I could
hobby.
Cut hair. I don't really see it as a hobby, but yeah, that's something that I could do.
Gamer. Play Fortnite.
There you go.
That's it.
So when you're not on the track, you're on the video
on
games.
The games. Yeah.
There you go. So, Josh, and I just want to touch on this just one more time here. You've not only put your hometown on the map when you jump in nationals there. Have you thought about that now that you've kind of in between this time here that you've qualified, what all this is going to do for your hometown? Like, just being able to put that kind of, I guess, notoriety on such a small area?
It's going to show my hometown, my high school, that, you know, track athletes can, you know, go to big schools and do a lot, not just because, like, everybody talks about, oh, this guy's going to UK at football for North Hardin. Oh, like this guy. Like, shout out to my high school football coach. You know, he's a great coach. But, you know, nobody really talks about the track team, you know. Yeah. Everybody talks about the football or baseball. Nobody really talks about our track athletes, and we're all exceeding. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome. So we got the question wheel back again. So each one of you all are going to take three spins at the question wheel. We got some really good questions on here.
Yeah.
So, Jatavi, you want to start and give us – we'll each go three spins there, see what we come up with here. Coolest or most famous contact in your phone?
I knew we were searching
for that one.
The coolest or most famous – I say the coolest is my daughter iPad.
Josh Moore?
Josh too. That's my people's man. Right now I think I done called Josh Moore in these last couple of weeks than I did all season. But I give that to my daughter. Me and
there
her
you
just
go.
Was on the phone too. Like, she's one of the coolest people I know.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah. Her iPad is the coolest.
Josh, you want me to spin for you? Or you want to come around and do it?
I'll go around.
I'm going to do it.
No.
Make sure you don't strangle yourself there. Right. There we go.
Wait, just like,
spin.
Right.
All right.
Ooh. Okay.
Favorite music artist?
What is? It's got to be the Kodak Black or Rod Wave, you know?
Okay.
I'm a big
I don't know what
wave.
That means, but okay.
But those are two people.
Okay. I mean, if I had to choose, I would have choose Kodak Black. But
he's from Florida.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. You want to be from Florida so bad.
He just tried to be like you, right?
Jatavia,
go for it.
I thought you was going.
I don't participate in this.
Okay.
You just put us on the spot.
Yeah.
Oh.
Go-to karaoke song.
What?
Go-to karaoke song. You've got some good ones so far.
No, these are the ones I was saying.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
I'm manifested. I was like, I know I'm not going to get these, and then boom, I'm getting them. Go-to karaoke song? Wow. That's putting me on the spot for real.
You may need a minute to ponder on that one.
Because what do I sing? Because me and my daughter, we make up our own songs. Like, but it's conference week, baby.
Maybe one that you write.
So, let's see. Karaoke. The first thing that comes to mind.
I want
to
hear you sing one of those songs.
I want to hear you sing it, too.
Yeah.
I want to hear what it's about.
Yeah, we may be on the breakthrough of something right here.
I can't think of the start at all. And I don't think I should be singing that song that I'm thinking about. Because I'm thinking of Usher's song.
Oh, man.
7
Usher?
O'clock on the
dot.
I'm in my drop top.
That's an old one.
Girls in the screen.
Yeah.
I'm not going to finish the rest of the thing.
Well, there you go. Usher. Usher.
Yeah, Usher. Yeah.
All right, Josh.
Go ahead, spend it. Go ahead.
Okay. All right, let's see what we land on here.
Okay.
Oh, you got coolest or most famous contact in your phone.
Coolest or most famous.
As she goes back.
It's got to be. Yeah, I got to say Coach Wright. Coach Wright, really. Specifically. So, you know.
You can't cop out with that.
Okay, all right. Coolest person. Got to be my dad. Because we talk about anything.
His dad is pretty cool.
We talk about anything, you know.
Yeah. Kind of like your life coach.
Yeah, typically.
There you go. Yeah. All right, we got one more turn on the question wheel here. Give it a good one. See what we get
there
here.
There
we
go.
There we go.
There you go.
Now we're talking.
Ooh, that's the way.
Y-E-K-U.
Because I'm here. Because I'm here. That's why E-K-U. No, honestly, E-K-U has been, you know, a really life changer for me. Mm-hmm. I'm a very creative person as a coach, and I've had to be because I've never had all the resources that E-K-U has to offer. Like, especially with this weather where we could still go inside and still go train inside. Like, that is big. That has been really big for me as a coach as well. So, just the resources, the support. I have a really great group. They're fairly young. And they have a lot of room for growth. And the changes that they've already made in this little bit of time is, like, crazy. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to still stick to my answer because I'm here.
Absolutely.
Because I'm here.
Josh? This last one?
Last one, yep.
All right. Make it a good one.
Get a
good one there. What will he land on here? Same thing. You got to spin it again. Oh, we're back to the karaoke.
I think this rigged.
I think it is too, yeah.
I would say My Girl by The Temptations.
Okay.
You know, to go out.
All right.
I love it.
That can be a song you can sing for us.
It's like, ooh, my girl.
Oh, that's
about
great.
My girl.
That's what you need to sing to yourself before you jump.
That's
great. So, Josh, I got one last question for you. What would be your biggest piece of advice for a youngster who's trying to take high jump seriously, trying to go into that next level of wanting to be a better high jumper? What would be your biggest piece of advice to that kid, young boy or young girl?
I would say trust the process. High jump, or just any jumping event, has its pros and its cons. You know, you're not going to do great or do good at every meet.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have some meets where, you know, you don't think it's for you anymore, or you don't jump as well or think you're doing as good, but you have to trust the process because it's going to be a work thing. Like, you have to work, you know. So I would say just trust the process, believe in yourself, and just go out there and perform and do good.
Yeah, that's incredible. And, Coach, for you, I know you can relate to that as a jumper yourself. What would be your biggest piece of advice for maybe someone who's just wanting to be an overall jumper, whether it be triple jump, any of those other jumps as well? What would be your biggest piece of advice to one trying to take their track game and jumping game to a next level?
Pay attention to the small things.
Yeah, okay.
That's a really broad, statement, but if you really take the time to pay attention to the small things, so like the core, the hydrating, and taking care of your body, those are really small, minute things in training.
Mm-hmm.
But the overall, you know, grasp of it, like, you end up having big benefits when you keep paying attention to the smaller things. So
definitely
pay attention to the small things.
That's awesome. Well, Josh, Coach Wright, thanks so much for joining us out here today. Josh, look forward to seeing you jump in Austin, Texas. We know that you're going to make EKU proud. Coach, best of luck to you as well. I'm sure there'll be some nerves, maybe. Will there be some nerves?
I think it's more so excitement.
Excitement, like, yeah, that's a good way to put it.
You know, with our training, we've been saying, like, we got to be consistent, and he's done such that. So, you just keep doing what we've been doing.
Yeah.
Jumping high.
Jump high. Just clear. Well, it'd be so good to see more Colonels competing on the national stage once again. I want to thank you for watching or listening to us as well. Be sure to subscribe to EKU Sports on YouTube and EKU Athletics on Apple Podcast to get notified when new podcasts drop. Guys, thanks so much again for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Until next time, my name is Wes Chandler, and you have been kicking it with the Colonels. All right. Thank you so much, guys.
This is really good.
That was fun. Yeah, I like